I only see the evidence, Sean. I see the evidence of a superficial presentation of one aspect of the faith.
Superficial. Judge not, lest you be judged, Reverend.
Just a little piece from Sean Hannity's conversation with the priest. The priest is simply saying, Sean, our church, they're both Roman Catholic, our church condemns birth control as intrinsically evil. That's a direct quote, intrinsically evil. Why are you saying that you're in favor of birth control if you're a Catholic? And Hannity's response? Well, that's what I'm asking for your response to. What do you make of his response? I wonder if his own priest raised this concern with him, whether he would talk the same way to him. Would he tell his own priest, judge not lest you be judged, Father? He who's without sin cast the first stone. Welcome back. It's Issues Etc. Audio open lines. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in numbers as we come to you live on this Tuesday, March the 13th, 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. We got some email to read here in a moment. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Later in this hour, open lines, we'll be looking for your answer to the question, does a candidate's personal life matter to you? Let's talk first with Bob, who calls from his car. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Pastor Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Hey, I had no idea that I always thought of Sean Hannity as a very devout Catholic. And I was kind of surprised that he had these kind of issues with the Catholic teaching. I tell you what I think one of the underpinnings might be, and this is just an observation on my part. Unlike Lutherans or people that go to my church, the Bible's our ultimate authority. If you can't back up a claim that the church is making without being able to point to Scripture and say, this is why it says so here, and this is what you're supposed to do because of the Scripture, and back it up that way. The Catholic Church has got what they call a lot of traditions. And I think this eating, not eating meat on Friday, and birth control falls into that category. It can't be backed up biblically.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. Well, don't get me wrong. I am not defending any unbiblical errors of the Roman Catholic Church. I am simply asking, why would someone be a Catholic if they don't agree with what the Catholic Church says? It's a simple question. And you could put it, you could fill in the blank Catholic with anything. What do you make of someone who says, hi, I'm a Republican. Oh, how do you like our new platform? I don't agree with any of it. Or I disagree with most of it. I don't agree with much of what the Republicans say. I'm a Republican, though. Wouldn't you say, wouldn't the first little acronym that came into your mind be RINO? Republican in name only? Wouldn't it? If it works for political parties, why doesn't it work for churches? See, what the priest is pointing out about Hannity's position is that Hannity's position betrays a different view of life, period. Because the issue of abortion and contraception in the Roman Catholic view, they are not two unrelated issues. They're part of a greater view of human life. Now, Sean Hannity is against abortion, but he's in favor of birth control. And the priest is saying, Sean, you need to understand the Roman Catholic view of life and not just treat abortion as an individual issue. Well, here's a priest who's at least got the guts to call a very popular and public Catholic to the carpet. We were all applauding when the Roman Catholic Church called John Kerry to the carpet for not believing what Catholics believe. Weren't we? You remember that, Jeff? Last time, when presidential election, Roman Catholic Church called John Kerry to account for not believing what Catholics believed. And conservatives applauded. Sean Hannity applauded. And now he's being called on the carpet for not believing what Catholics believe, and this is what results. You know, would that my church body had more pastors like this priest. Joel calls from his car. Hi, Joel.
Yeah, ask your question again. Why would you stay Catholic if you disagree with most of the Catholic stuff or whatever?
Yeah.
I would think the answer to that would be the person could do it very easily if all he was basing his religion on or his salvation on was the fact that he was under a Catholic title. I'm Catholic. I don't really necessarily agree with what they're going through right now, But I'm still Catholic because if I bug out, then I don't believe there's any other way to be saved besides just be Catholic.
Why is that, Joel?
Well, see, I'm just saying that's what a person could be thinking.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, don't get me wrong.
Okay, I understand.
Not me.
All right, Joel, thank
no,
you very much.
But I'm just saying how under the umbrella some people are at being Catholic.
Okay, I understand. But it's not only Catholics, by the way. Let's be careful. There are a lot of people under the Lutheran umbrella and the Presbyterian umbrella and the Baptist umbrella who don't give two hoots about what Lutheranism is, Baptist theology is, Calvinist theology is. It's just a convenient label for whatever they want to believe. They are Lutheran on their own terms, Presbyterian on their own terms, Baptist on their own terms, just like many Catholics are Catholics on their own terms. Tim calls from his car. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic, and I was taught that the Catholic Church was the one true religion, and I believe that it's Catholics stay in the Catholic Church when they don't agree with some of the doctrine because of piety. I think that they really believe, too, that perhaps there's something to that, that it's the one religion that can be traced back to Peter being the first pope and all that. So I think it comes to piety, and I have a lot of family and friends that embrace that don't eat meat on Friday and whatever doctrine they want, but they're still devout Catholics, and I really think that they think all the other Christian religions that there's a false to it, and I don't believe in the Catholic Church anymore, even though being raised that way.
All right, Tim, thank you. See, he used the term devout Catholic. Now, see, devout to me means that you're a true believer. You know, there's some Christians in this world that never find a church where they can say, I'm a true believer. And a lot of them end up going off and doing their own thing. I don't know, am I that odd that I actually am a member of a church body where I believe that everything this church officially teaches, not the nonsense it may say today or yesterday, but everything that I officially swore to when I was confirmed in this church and then later ordained as a pastor in this church, is actually completely true? Am I a throwback to an earlier generation that I actually believe what my church says it teaches? I'm nuts. There may not be that many more of me around. I don't know. I get email all the time from people who begin their emails. They always begin this way. I'm a lifelong Lutheran, but, and then follows usually some sort of statement disagreeing with some fundamental doctrine of the Lutheran Church teaches, which makes you wonder what lifelong Lutheran really means. Chris in Nevada writes this. Well, in that sense, they're no different from Sean Hannity, who says he's a lifelong Catholic, but he's got apparently some problems with what the Catholic Church teaches. Chris in Nevada writes, not that I'm defending how he's defending himself, but what's wrong with disagreeing with your church in public? If you believe that your church is wrong biblically, shouldn't you say something? Should Luther have kept his mouth shut when he disagreed with the church? Don't get me wrong, his defense is horrible, talking about Hannity's, but saying that you have to agree with the teachings of a church is ridiculous. Look, you don't have to associate yourself with the church, do you? Sean Hannity isn't saying that the Catholic Church is biblically wrong on birth control. He never made a biblical argument. The only Bible passages he pulled out were, judge not lest you be judged, and he is without sin, cast the first stone. He did not make a biblical argument that the church is wrong. That's different. What Luther did was he made a biblical argument that the church was not teaching what Scripture teaches. And he didn't insist on being called a Catholic. When he got the bull of excommunication, he didn't burn it because he insisted on being called a Catholic. He didn't say, I'm still a Catholic. I don't care. I don't care what the Pope tells me. I'm still a Catholic. No. He recognized that his church had at least officially said, we are not willing to listen to Scripture's admonition. Now, if Sean Hannity were making a scriptural argument that birth control is good and right, that would be a different story. Larry in San Diego writes, the Reverend is correct and Hannity is wrong and is a Bush-style theological liberal, for example. He advocates anonymous Christianity among errant positions. That would be the view that one does not have to explicitly believe in Christ to be considered among the saved. If my church body is found out that I held a public position contrary to the scriptures and the confessions, they would call me to task for it. It is biblical for a pastor or priest to call an erring brother to task, as has been done here. His judgments have been based on doctrine and scripture and not on his not, and are not his own. At the same time, we are all sinful. Larry continues, the Reverend is not chasing people away from the Roman Catholic Church. He is doing what any devout church member or pastor would do, standing up for the church teaching. If one does not want to agree with their church, they need to take it up with their pastor and be brought to understanding. If that's not possible, then perhaps they should keep it to themselves or find another church. It's not like there's a shortage of them out there. Ruthie in Glendale writes this, I'm very disappointed in Sean for pulling out the don't judge me. It's so sophomoric, I would think that he knows better than that. Maybe he doesn't, writes Ruthie. I'm glad the priest will not commune him. I wish we had more like that. Maybe you could do a whole show on agree, disagree with your church body. I think we're doing that right now. Good suggestion, Ruthie. Are you still Lutheran if you believe the Roman Catholic is a Christian church? Are you still Lutheran if you believe pastors can pray with Muslim leaders? Are you still Roman Catholic if you don't believe that Muslims, Hindus can be saved outside of the church, which they currently teach? Are you still Lutheran if you don't believe that in vitro fertilization is proper? Now, Ruthie, you're raising all sorts of questions about what people actually believe. In this day and age, we don't do this. We don't ask people what they actually believe. It's all freedom, isn't it? Free to believe whatever we want to believe and call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, unless we're in the realm of politics, then, of course, the dividing lines are quite clear and unmistakable. But in the matters of theology, come on. Who knows what's true? Eric is listening in Waterloo. Hi, Eric.
I was just, talking about the judge not or unless you be judge. I was remembered what Paul had said when I guess it was a similar situation. He said, don't you know that you're going to judge the nations, So I guess meant get serious about it.
Thank you very much, Eric. See, the passage, judge not lest you be judged, is not intended as your get-out-of-jail-free card. Jesus is saying, if you're going to practice unscriptural judgment, then you can expect to be judged. All Christians fall under the judgment of God's word. All Christians, in what they say, think, do, and believe, are subject to God's word. To use judge not lest you be judged to say, I'm not subject to God's word, is a terrible abuse of the passage. Diane calls from her car. Hi, Diane.
Oh, hi. I was just calling because I think a lot of people, which I did for a long time too, say, I don't agree everything that the pastor says or the priest, whatever you want to say, because I'm from a Catholic background and I'm just now changing to go over to be a Lutheran, but I searched a lot of different churches and I've come across it with people. Well, I don't believe everything. But I think, I know for myself, I have found out when I speak and feel that way, it's because I'm still not wanting to change. I still want to live in sin, but still be in my church, too, and have that protection, so you think. But that's the kind I have, and I think maybe that's what a lot of people are going through.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And God bless you on your road to Wittenberg. if Sean Hannity came out, let me just make it as clear as I can make it. If Sean Hannity had come out and said he doesn't believe adultery is wrong, and he's a Roman Catholic, but he doesn't have a problem with adultery, everyone would see this issue with crystal clarity, wouldn't they? They'd say, Sean, doesn't your church teach that adultery is intrinsically evil? And if he said, judge not lest you be judged, and he was without sin, cast the first stone, no one would take that seriously. if you're going to call yourself a thing, you ought to know and believe what it is you say you are. It's called honesty, the last time I checked. John and Arnold, Todd, why does it always seem that you give a pass to Rome? He must not have read much of what I've written lately. Their way of justification is totally foreign to the scriptures in that you consistently seem to refer to Rome as another Christian denomination. Is the Reformation over? It seems to be on issues, etc. I don't know what the rest of this means. He says he sent this email to me in a brotherly spirit. Thank you, John. I give a pass to Rome. I want John to email us back and give me specific examples of where I've given a pass to Rome, even in this conversation. Really, all I'm asking is that Sean Hannity be an honest Catholic. Do I disagree with much of what Rome teaches? Absolutely. By the way, to be a Lutheran, you don't have to disagree with everything Rome teaches, because most of what Rome teaches is true. Teaches that God is three in one. Teaches that Jesus came in the flesh and died and rose again. There's a lot of things that Roman Catholics teach that are true. In order to be a Lutheran, you have to reject the errors of Rome. And by the way, the errors of Rome are found not only in Rome, but also in evangelicalism. They just don't call them the errors of Rome. There are many Lutherans out there who call themselves Lutheran, but by Rome's teaching on justification, that you are saved not by faith alone, but by faith and love together. There are Lutherans who believe that being Lutheran means everything Rome isn't. That, by the way, is not Lutheranism. That's Anabaptism. They reject infant baptism, the presence of the Lord in the Supper, all of these kind of things, because they've defined themselves as everything Rome isn't. But that's not Lutheranism. No, I don't think I've ever given Rome a pass where Rome doesn't deserve a pass. Herman calls from Illinois. Hi, Herman. But John, if you want to email us back with the specifics, I'd be happy to respond. Hi, Herman.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello. And using that passage, judge not, lest ye be judged, in terms of a reformational Lutheran confessional scripture interpret scripture context, if a person is, you better be careful using that, because if you're taking a position of denying the rest of Scripture, like John Warwick Montgomery has made an issue on some of your programs back, by the time you get to that verse, you've kicked Scripture down so much it's no good to use a verse like that, because you've discounted all the rest of Scripture, so you're speaking empty words. And just as for your information, I might mention one of your former guests, Dr. Robert Binney, the latest edition of the American Lutheran Publicity Bureau newsletter, he cites in there that his excommunication has been called for publicly by some of the extreme liberals in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
And he should wear it as a badge of honor. He should. Thank you very much, Herman. Thanks for the news, too. Let's see. Paul's up next. He calls from his car. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. One quick comment. You weren't explicitly going in this direction, but I just, the first thing that popped in my mind when Sean made a certain comment was, he seems to be in agreement with the Catholic Church on the issue of abortion, and so he dealt with that issue. But he said, wouldn't you rather that people use contraceptives than to get an abortion? And perhaps someone should just point out to him that certain forms of contraception are in and of themselves abortive.
Oh, yes, actually, that's true. Thank you very much. Thank you. There are abortifacients out there that are sold as contraceptives. Here, someone called in with a response to Hannity's logic there, which is, wouldn't you rather them practice birth control, which may be wrong, than have an abortion? But that logic can be extended, and often is, by the advocates of abortion to say, well, wouldn't you rather them have an abortion than have that child be born and raised in a physically abusive home? It's the same logic. Well, abortion may be wrong, but there are worse things. And Hannity's seems to be, well, birth control may be wrong, but there are worse things. It doesn't work when my daughter comes home and she's late. And I say to her, you're a half hour late. And she says, well, would you rather have me be 2 hours late? Which is essentially her arguing that I should somehow give her credit for being less late than she could have been. It doesn't work at home. It doesn't work in this case either. Will Cole's from St. Louis. Hi, Will.
Roman Catholic Church, haven't they thrown out the human vitae order?
What do you mean, thrown it out?
Well, Roman Catholic families are about the average of the country, so wouldn't we suspect that they are using birth control?
Oh, I think they are in large numbers. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
So, what is this priest getting after this man?
Well, I imagine he would get after any Catholic that believes that birth control is okay, when their catechism clearly teaches that it's intrinsically evil. Oh, by the way, for those of you who think Wilkins giving Rome a pass, there are actually Lutherans who believe that contraception is intrinsically evil, too. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is for your kids, your grandkids, your godchildren. It's called Easter Is For Me. We interviewed the author of this book yesterday, Dandy Daly Mackle. She was kind enough to read the book for us. Maybe you heard it. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book right there at our homepage, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, ask them about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. Easter Is For Me. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Oh, by the way, if you want to know where Wilkin disagrees with the Roman Catholic Church, I'll give you a really quick reference to find it out. It's called The Lutheran Confessions. You might read them sometime if you call yourself a Lutheran. You will find there a rather extensive catalog of disagreements with what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. I adhere to all of them. I agree with all of them. You might find there also, a little later in the Lutheran Confessions, a rather extensive catalog of where the errors of Calvinism and other forms of Christianity lie. I disagree with those things too. So if you want to know where Wilkin stands on the errors of, say, Calvinism or Catholicism, read the Lutheran Confessions and you'll have it right there. Because when I said I believed that, this was 16 years ago, when I said I believed what the Lutheran Confessions teach as a right exposition of Scripture, and that I condemn the errors they condemn and affirm the truths they affirm, I believed it. And I still do. Without apology. And without exception. A little bit later in the program today, we're going to have some more audio open lines, and then Uwe Simonetto is going to join us. We'll talk with him about Lutherans and political influence. He's director of the Concordia Seminary Institute on lay vocation. Tomorrow on the program, The Truth About Muhammad with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Earlier today in our Bible study program, we covered Isaiah chapters 13 through 23, and there sure was a lot of perishing going on. I thought God was a God who wanted no man to perish. Pastor John Lekonsky had the assignment, and he handled it well. If you'd like to hear his comments on that portion of Isaiah, tune in tonight, the Bible study repeat at 6:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Plunge headfirst into one of the largest garage sales in St. Louis as gift shops from area attractions gather all their extra items at the St. Louis Museum Store's Garage Sale, Saturday, March 24th, in the Living World at the St. Louis Zoo, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You'll find souvenirs, toys, books, clothing, artwork, and more from area museums and galleries and historical sites. If you'd like more information, visit stlzoo.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Terry Phillips, sitting in for Bob Dittmer. Gay rights groups are upset that winning Super Bowl coach Tony Dungy is speaking at a fundraiser for the Indiana Family Institute. Dungy will be presented with a Friends of the Family Award, but the activists say associating with the Institute is homophobic. Steve Jordahl reports.
Coach Dungy made his priorities crystal clear when he accepted the Vince Lombardi Trophy in February.
Lovie Smith and I, not only the first two African-Americans, but Christian coaches showing that you can win, doing it the Lord's way. We're more proud of that.
Now gay rights advocates want Dungy to distance himself from his faith. Dungy is avoiding the controversy and didn't return our calls for comment. Sid Ziegler of Outsports.com, one of the two groups behind the protest, says the coach shouldn't accept the award.
My concern is that, one, he is the face of an organization and he is associating himself and raising money for a group that fights gay rights.
Indiana Family Institute President Kurt Smith says the organization actually fights for traditional marriage, and Dungy's position on gay rights, whatever it is, was never even discussed.
There was no five-point quiz where he had to agree with us on a number of public policy questions, and inviting him and then following up with a letter, we didn't discuss public policy.
Jim Daly of Focus on the Family is tired of Christians being abused for their faith.
If you look at what Tony Dungy wants to do, he wants to come and talk about family and faith, and I just think it's Christophobia for people to try to control the speech of people of faith.
He says if gay rights groups are going to preach tolerance, they should practice it as well. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
The protests may backfire on the gay activists. Smith reports that ticket sales for this fundraiser so far are the best in the history of the organization. For Family News in Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
All around us, we see marriages crumbling. Next time on Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson is joined by Dr. Jim Talley and a couple that's been divorced, but they found a way to reconcile their differences. Learn how they exchanged their bitterness and pain for the joy of renewed friendship and love. Your heart will be warmed by the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of our Book of the Month for March, Easter Is For Me. For more information, look for the Easter Is For Me cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Easter Is For Me by Dandy Daly Mackle. It's a helpful resource to help teach young children about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter Is For Me.
I have sinned. It is important to me that everybody who has been hurt know that the sorrow I feel is genuine.
There were times when I was praying and when I felt I was doing things that were wrong, but I was still doing them.
The more privacy I can have for my family, the better we're going to be able to deal with all of these difficulties.
Well, those are the voices of Bill Clinton, Newt Gingrich, and Rudolph Giuliani, respectively. All of them making forms of admissions to peccadilloes, affairs, and various private life errors, some of them divorce and some of them merely adultery. The whole next hour of Issues Etc. is audio open lines, and it's all devoted to your answer to this question. I think it's a very important question to be asking, and that is, does a candidate's personal private life matter to you? Does it affect the way you vote? It's audio open lines. I want your answer to that question. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, let's begin with Newt Gingrich. He has not officially announced that he's running for president, but many see his recent confession on Focus on the Family as an indication that he's preparing to do so. Here's a CBS News story about his most recent confession to an extramarital affair.
Newt Gingrich isn't running for president yet, but it looks like he's getting closer, joining in on what's fast becoming a ritual of this campaign season, the mea culpa. His confessional? A conservative radio show.
there were times when I was praying and when I felt I was doing things that were wrong, but I was still doing them.
Gingrich revisited past sins, an extramarital affair, and admitted that as he called for Bill Clinton's impeachment, he too was messing around.
The fact is that the honest answer is yes, but that it was not related to what happened.
Gingrich joins others who've been trying to offload some baggage. Hillary Clinton has her cheating husband.
And what in my background equips me to deal with evil and bad men?
For Barack Obama, it's everything from unpaid parking tickets to drugs, pothead help, and booze. Maybe a little blow, admitting to using cocaine in his autobiography. Then there's Rudy Giuliani, addressing a rift with his son after an ugly divorce.
The more privacy I can have for my family, the better we're going to be able to deal with all of these difficulties.
It's a long way from 1987. Remember Gary Hart? Today, it seems, a little monkey business no longer kills a candidacy.
One of the most important rituals of politics today is the confessional.
Frank Luntz, a Republican pollster, says in the post-Bill Clinton era, voters assume their candidates have done something they're not proud of. It's not what they've done. It's how they explain it.
It's not enough to tell us where you stand on Iraq or taxes. We want to know what you've done wrong, not just what you've done right. If you tell us what you've done wrong, we'll pay attention to everything else.
So Gingrich may have simply been getting his ticket punched. What amounts to, in this day and age, looking positively presidential. Jim Axelrod, CBS News, Washington.
All right, if you remember, and how could you forget, back in 1998 and thereabouts, American evangelicals were very upset with the president. For a number of things, but first and foremost was he had an affair while in office. Now, of course, there were other concerns there, too, some of them legal, some of them merely, I guess the term of art back in those days was ethical. Maybe you were among those who were deeply concerned about a president who had an affair while in office, and then only later, sometime later, admitted to it. Here's Newt Gingrich, who is on his third wife, and apparently, during that very time frame, was also having an affair. Does it still matter to you? Does the personal private life of candidates affect how you vote? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. I want your answer to this as we come to you live Tuesday, March the 13th. This is, the next one up is Rudolph Giuliani, who, by the way, is polling as the front runner, at least at this point in time, as the GOP candidate. He's also on his third wife, the woman he's married to now, much like the woman at the well in Samaria. The woman that he's married to now was once his public mistress. So here's the next GOP candidate with some family issues, former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. This comes from CBS's Early Show.
Can a man be a good president if he doesn't get along with his own children? As we've noted, it could be an issue for Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani. It came up as the former New York mayor campaigned in California on Monday. Early Show national correspondent Hattie Kaufman has more.
Rudolph Giuliani would rather have talked politics. Instead, he was forced to address conflict within his own family.
These problems with blended families, you know, are challenges. And the challenges are best worked on privately.
If you want privacy about your relationships with your children, then maybe you shouldn't run for president.
His son Andrew didn't keep it private. He told the New York Times that he and his dad weren't speaking for a decent amount of time. He added, there's obviously a little problem that exists between me and his wife. That would be Judith Nathan, Andrew's stepmother. Giuliani married her after announcing in a live press conference that he was divorcing the kid's mom, Donna Hanover.
I had hoped to keep this marriage together.
Three marriages. A relationship with the woman who is now his wife, but was then his mistress. He seems to have no discretion in his personal and private life.
My wife, Judith, is a very loving and caring and good mother and grandmother, good mother and stepmother. She's done everything she can. The responsibility is mine.
That Giuliani had to face this issue while campaigning here in liberal California may be an indicator of how tough it could be for him to win over voters in more conservative states that emphasize family values.
We're talking about somebody who's going to be elected father of the country. And we know, you know, he's good in a crisis. but is he good as a father?
This isn't the first time Andrew Giuliani has stolen the spotlight from his dad. Back when he was 6 years old, his antics turned Giuliani's inauguration as mayor of New York into a joke. After 9/11, Giuliani was seen as a healer of the nation.
From it has emerged a stronger spirit.
Now he has to heal the rift in his own family. For The Early Show, Hattie Kaufman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Now someone's going to say, these are personal and private matters. That's exactly what President Bill Clinton had to say when he was going through his affair with Monica Lewinsky, personal and private matters. So will you give Gingrich and Giuliani a pass, but not Bill Clinton? Is this going to be an obstacle for you if the candidate that you're looking at in 2008 is on his third wife and has admitted to marital indiscretions and affairs? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, March the 13th. I do want your answers to those questions. Giuliani is running out ahead of everybody else. Not as far as he was last week, but still pretty far. I really want to know what you women think. I might be wrong, but maybe the whole issue of adultery might resonate a little more strongly with women, or a candidate who's on his third wife might resonate strongly with women. I might be wrong. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I mean, say what you will about President Bill Clinton. He's still on his first wife. Does it matter to you? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones now. Brandon is waiting in his car. Hi, Brandon.
Hello?
Hi, Brandon. What's up?
Not much. I'm calling to comment. I do think that both these gentlemen's histories with their families and things are important, but I think the difference, really, why we might give them a pass and we didn't so much with President Clinton is really the lie, the fact that he lied to the public. I think really that's what bothered me. I was pretty young then, and, you know, the infidelity is a pretty big issue, but still I think the bigger issue was that he went on TV and he lied to the American public more so than the affair. So, I mean, these are, you know, integrity issues, I guess, that will be played out. You know, that they definitely will be important, but I think we're much more likely to forgive them that, you know, now that they're coming out now, they're not lying about them. I think that's really the big issue, and I think that was the big issue then, for me at least. So,
do you think that Giuliani's and Gingrich's past and multiple divorces will influence how people vote?
How they
vote on crucial issues?
I do think that'll affect people, especially if it comes down to, I mean, when it really comes down to it, if you're, you know, really undecided, you know, for the really undecided people, then that could be the, you know, the deciding factor. But hopefully, I mean, I'd like to see people vote on politics. I think I would, I think they're both good men. I'd like to think that at least. I don't know a lot about Rudy Giuliani, but, you know, I hope it comes down more to politics, and I hope we can make decisions based on their,
okay,
you know, how they think they're going to run the country more so than, but yeah, it definitely will.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. So Brandon says, the difference with Bill Clinton was Bill Clinton lied about it publicly. So Newt Gingrich said nothing about it, and Rudolph, with his affair, just simply didn't say anything about it, kept it quiet, which some might say is kind of lying. Rudolph Giuliani was very public with his affairs. I mean, you just walk into a fancy restaurant in New York City, you saw him with his mistress. So there was no lying going on there. Lots of adultery, but no lying. Does it make a difference to you? Ken calls next from his car.
Yes,
hi, Ken.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I think that it shows more than a lapse in judgment on the part of all. It certainly exhibits a weakness. And my concern, though, would be that Bill Clinton did it in office, and he could have been exposed to any number of treasonous events doing it in office and occupying our White House.
Well, but Newt Gingrich was third in line for the presidency when he did his, too.
Right. And I agree with that. And I don't give him a pass on that either.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. Ken's not handing out passes today. Not to Bill Clinton, not to Newt Gingrich, not to Rudolph Giuliani. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Greg calling from his car. Hi, Greg.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As far as, real quick on three things. A, Clinton, the lie is not so much that bothers me, the breaking of the law. The lie is what broke the law. But the other thing, the reason why I called was a lot of people call in on this topic and they talk about, well, if you can't handle things at home, how can you handle something as big as a country? I would remind everyone of Samuel, one of the great prophets of all time and leader of Israel. He was an awful parent, if you read about his sons. And, of course, we know about King David. I hate to state the obvious, but, I mean, apparently he was a great king. And he was obviously an adulterer, so just like people to think about those things. I'm not a Clinton fan whatsoever, not even close, but I got to say, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you can't do your job. Sometimes it means you do your job better because you're not taking care of things at home. You're not even thinking about it.
Okay, now, just without addressing that last point, do you think we should give Gingrich Giuliani a pass but not Clinton? Greg?
The only thing that I hold against Clinton is he lied under oath. That's against the law, and a president is not allowed to break the law. He can't enforce law if he's going to break it himself.
Okay, Greg.
I couldn't care less if they sin.
All right, thank you very much. Now, just to get the timeline correct, and I reviewed this last night, so I was make sure I had the timeline correct. First, there was the lie in a press conference. I did not have sex with that woman. That wasn't perjury, by the way. That was just telling the press what he wanted them to believe. Then came August 17th grand jury testimony, or prior to August 17th grand jury testimony, where, at least according to the president, he did not technically lie, but he didn't volunteer any information. And then another grand jury testimony, after which he admitted to having an affair. So, that element is certainly in there. Although, you tell me the difference between someone who is accused of having an affair and says, no, I'm not, and someone who isn't accused of having an affair but keeps it quiet. One might say that Newt Gingrich, at the very least, was lying to his wife. Where were you, honey? Oh, the session went long, when he was actually with his mistress. There's a lie. It's not a public lie. It's a private lie. Hi, Barb. Barb's calling from St. Peter's.
Hi, Pastor Welton. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
What are your thoughts on this?
I keep thinking about the, you said the first lie and the second lie. I'm thinking the first lie was to God. Because they stood before an altar and they pledged to be faithful. And, we're living in a world where we're having to excuse so many things. Like that thing about the gays in the service this afternoon, that really disturbs me, that because they rise up and make a big fuss about it, the general, whatever his name is, had to not back down but apologize for an obvious sin.
Barb, I got a question.
Yeah.
Will Gingrich's past infidelity and the fact that he's been divorced twice, married three times now, Giuliani's past infidelity and the fact that he's been divorced twice, married third time, will that affect how you vote if either of them are presented as candidates?
I think it will. I think it will because if a man isn't honest with his God, he has no integrity as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Thank you very much, Barb. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Next up, we've got Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hello again, Todd. Paraphrase Gertrude Stein. A hypocrite is a hypocrite is a hypocrite. One of the things that struck me, and you're going to have to tell me if I'm right, was Clinton the one who said, I have sinned?
Yes, in fact, he did.
Semi-reminiscent of David. Now, I don't know whether or not Mr. Clinton was sincere in in saying that, but certainly it beats the kind of beating around the bush and excuse-making that some of these others are doing,
Well, just to make sure that we are clear on our facts here, Andy, and stay on the line, when Bill Clinton made his first apology, which was made a live evening telecast, he said that he admitted to what he had done. He said it was, in fact, wrong. Then later, that was deemed insufficient, so he, in a an address to a group, a speech he was making, he actually did say those words, "I have sinned." Yes.
I haven't seen any of the candidates yet that I would care to have be president. I'm thinking maybe Fred Thompson might be a good possibility. He seems to have been an honest man, but I'm at a loss right now.
Andy, thank you very much. So Andy's not sure about any of them. Selena is calling from her car. Hi, Selena.
Right. I'm not sure that I could pick any of them to vote for right now either, and I think that this is an abuse of power situation as much as anything. And if they abuse power that they have to have affairs and this type of thing in the limelight that they're in, what will they do with the power in the presidency?
And that's a concern that I have. Thank you very much, Selena. You know, I think about this as much as you guys are thinking about it. And my concern here is, my concern always was during the days of Bill Clinton, was this was an affair that just wasn't with just anybody. It was with a young intern, kind of the bottom rung of the ladder there at the White House. And of course, Monica Lewinsky is not innocent of this in any respect. But when Newt Gingrich had his affair, it was with a congressional aide. I don't know where Rudolph Giuliani found his mistresses. I don't follow the New York social life that closely. But there was the issue of a misuse of one's position that goes along with this affair. And then that does raise the question, I think Selena's right, that does raise the question of, if someone will misuse their position in this way, are there other ways they'll misuse their position? I think one of the earlier callers said, this is an issue of judgment. Are they capable of exercising sound judgment? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Tuesday, March the 13th. We're taking your phone calls on this issue and getting your answer to this question. Given the fact that we now have the front runner in the Republican race and one of the favorites who hasn't entered the race yet, Rudolph Giuliani and Newt Gingrich, both admitting to marital affairs, and both of them on their third wives, will a candidate's personal private life affect how you vote? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And we got plenty of time for your phone calls before this break and after this break. Then at 5:30, Uwe Simonetto joins us to talk about Lutherans and their political influence. That's coming up here in about 40 minutes on Issues Etc. Well, let's have a little more on this issue. This is an NBC News report on how GOP presidential candidates and their marital woes are winding up. I want your reaction after this, 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. This is from NBC News about the GOP candidates and what they're calling marital woes.
Now to Decision 2008, where the personal lives of the candidates could become a big political issue. NBC's Nora O'Donnell takes a look at the marriage factor. Nora, good morning to you.
Good morning, Meredith. Well, the Republican Party is the so-called party of family values, which raises a key question. How will conservatives and evangelicals judge candidates who face past marital problems?
Rudy Giuliani, John McCain, and Newt Gingrich rank at the top of the Republican polls. All have been divorced, Giuliani and Gingrich twice.
Giuliani and Gingrich have enough wives between them to start a basketball team.
Giuliani waged a very public and nasty divorce from his second wife, Donna Hanover, and is now estranged from his two children.
For quite some time, it's probably been apparent that Donna and I lead in many ways independent and separate lives.
In a recent NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, 60% said it makes no difference that Giuliani has been divorced twice. Still, for evangelicals, family values are a big issue.
I think that there are a lot of people who are pro-family voters who are going to find it very difficult, if not impossible, to vote for a man with Rudy Giuliani's marital history.
Gingrich now admits that during the impeachment of Bill Clinton, he was having an extramarital affair of his own with a congressional aide, now his third wife. McCain has been married to his second wife, Cindy, for 25 years.
I would hope that gossip or, quote, family issues would not enter into this campaign.
27 years ago, Ronald Reagan became the only divorced candidate to win the presidency.
Whether a candidate is divorced may not matter anymore. What matters is the way in which it was done, and if it suggests some larger personal flaw.
And in the era of YouTube and blogs, the personal can quickly become very public.
Much of the political discourse is conducted over the internet, where rumors, where old stories, where old video clips can become absolutely lethal.
Mitt Romney frequently spotlights his wife.
We've had a terrific partnership in all that we've done in this 37 years together.
And ironically enough, as many questions have been raised about the implications of having a Mormon candidate in the race, Mitt Romney, among the top four, is the only candidate who's still on his first wife.
Now, in general, Republicans are not satisfied with their choice of candidates. More than half said that in our last poll, which may explain why there are now 10 Republicans in the race, with at least another three considering a bid.
Boy, it makes you wonder whether anybody could run for president. I had forgotten that Ronald Reagan was divorced. I had forgotten this. Of course, it was a single divorce. It's kind of the single strike, and you're still waiting for the next pitch kind of a thing. But when you're up into Liz Taylor territory, when you're on your third wife, it used to be the purview of kind of the flighty Hollywood celebrity. Our politicians are looking more and more like our celebrities, aren't they? And we morally disapprove of Britney Spears getting married when she's so young and then immediately getting divorced and then getting married again and having kids and getting divorced and maybe having a fling on the side. We morally disapprove of that. And Romney, who's polling poorer and poorer by the day, is the only candidate who is still on his first wife, and he's a Mormon. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. The family values voters, if they're going to find it an obstacle that their candidates have been multiply divorced and had affairs, might have very few choices. Might actually have to go with the Mormon this time. What about you? This break is a great time to think about it and give us a call. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727, or to compose an email and send it to issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've got another half hour of open lines on the other side of this break. Then we'll be talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Lutherans and their political influence is the subject of his latest article. We'll be talking with him. He's got an article in a forthcoming Reporter titled Sitting in the Back Pews of Life. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist and director of the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation and the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism. Audio Open Lines continues on the other side. The question is still there, and I'm still anxious to hear your answers, especially from the women, about this issue of multiple divorces and affairs in our presidential candidates. Does it make a difference on how you are going to vote? 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.